Good evening. This is KI0RE, Terry in Colorado, conducting the OppiNet control for a net we're having tonight on a conference call. We simulate an actual ham net as much as we can, and we hold this net at 8 p.m. Eastern Time every week on Wednesday night at 8 p.m., and it lasts for about 45 minutes. We discuss anything that has to do with ham radio communication, committees of correspondence, or committees of safety, and the National Liberty Alliance. It's pretty much free form. I'm the net control. I welcome anybody who wants to try net control and actually conduct it. And I don't want to pop it on anybody, but anybody who wants to volunteer, just speak up now. Okay, hearing nothing, I guess I'll just continue on. What I'd like to do is to go around to everybody on listening to the net on the call and ask them to tell me something that a ham, or tell us all something, that a ham can or cannot do. Oftentimes, when you're net control, to help people understand how a network works, you ask a question, and then you go around and you ask everybody for the answer to the question. So that's kind of what I'm going to do tonight. And maybe we'll have a chance to answer questions when you get to talk. If you want to answer my question, then you can ask any kind of question you want for the body of the net. And sometimes I don't have the answer. And maybe somebody else does. Jan has lots of answers. I like him. So, in keeping in that spirit, please identify yourself by call sign if you have one. If you don't have one, just give me your first name and the state you're from. So, who would like to be first? Please jump in now.
This is Greg in Florida.
Okay, who was that?
This is Greg in Florida.
All right, Greg in Florida. Do you remember the question, or do I need to repeat it?
Yeah, I remember the question. I wanted to get an answer that I might be able to, you know, get before anybody else jumped in. I know you, as a ham operator, you cannot just broadcast.
That's correct.
That's all I got.
Okay, thank you, sir. That's absolutely true. You cannot broadcast. You can transmit, but transmit implies that you're talking to a single person or a group of people. Broadcasting, the FCC reserves for mass media, where they're talking to thousands of people all at once. Okay. Next one. Call now, please.
I would, but I am playing with my hotspot who says it signed me out, and I've got two more attempts to get the right password back in, so I'm preoccupied. Sorry.
Well, that's a good contribution, Jan. That means that hams occasionally get preoccupied, so thank you very much.
Yeah, yes. We sure do.
Hams get distracted and get preoccupied, and suddenly it's 4 hours later, and their kid's still sitting at school. I've done that. Been there. So thank you, Jan, for that input. All right, next, go ahead and call now.
Terry, this is Helena in Pennsylvania. Can I do a follow-up question on the difference between broadcasting and just talking to someone else on a ham?
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead. You have the floor.
That is the question. What is the difference? I don't have any yes or no.
Okay. Transmitting is when you are sending out a signal to communicate a message to another ham or somebody that's listening. And it might be to one person or it might be to a group of people. Broadcasting is when you're not expecting a reply. Transmitting, you're expecting a reply. So as soon as you finish asking your question or communicating your message, you're going to listen for the reply. Broadcasting, nobody listens. You continually send out a signal at all times, and you're broadcasting, you're sending that signal out in hopes that multiple thousands of people will be listening.
That they don't have the opportunity to respond. Is that the difference?
They have no opportunity to respond. That's correct.
Yeah, thank you.
So, technically, when we call and log in as a ham radio operator on a particular repeater, we're what we're doing is they classify that as a transmission to enable communication. So, I get on a repeater and I say, this is KI0RE, listening. And that's all I say. I keep it short. I identify myself and I keep it short. And then I let other people who might have heard me on the radio call me back. If there's nobody, then I haven't disturbed the repeater for very long, just maybe 10 seconds. But anybody that's riding along, or is listening to the repeater can call me. Or, same thing, somebody else might get on the net and say, this is so-and-so, so-and-so listening. And I say, oh, yeah, I want to talk to that guy. I heard him last week. I wanted to find out what the end of that story was because I had to get out of the car. So I go back to him and I say, well, hey, guy, this is KI0RE, Terry. I remember you talking last week, and then I asked a good question. So it's okay to make short things, but you're expecting an answer, whereas broadcasting, you're not expecting an answer at all. And so hams don't do broadcasting. They do transmitting. Now, have I oversaid myself there?
No, I guess I have one more question. Is it on a different frequency if you're trying to broadcast versus, I don't know the right terminology, and you just clarified it for me. If you're trying to communicate back and forth, is that on a different frequency than just plain old broadcast, where you're just not dropping information out?
That leads to a different definition, because oftentimes on repeaters, everybody listens to the output frequency of the repeater, and there's an input frequency for the repeater. So when you call, that's what the offset is, O-F-F-S-E-T. The offset is it goes up or down a certain number of hertz. Like for VHF, it's 600 hertz. So if the repeater is on 14670, it'll jump down to 146100. And that's where you transmit to the repeater. The repeater sends out on 14670. If you're talking simplex, then you're both sharing the same frequency. So you're on the same frequency that you expect a reply from. So it could be two different ways, depending upon what the necessary communication has been and what you're trying to do. Does that make sense, Helena?
Yes, it does, Terry. Thank you.
Okay. Now, who else? Anybody out there? The question is, what can hams do or not do? And I'd love to hear from everybody else that's on. Go ahead and call now. This is Terry, KI0RE. This is an example of dead air. And what it usually means is that we're waiting on people to get the courage to go ahead and key up and talk, or we're waiting on somebody to get in a better position. And the key is to keep listening. Now, for some people, they're not used to hearing dead air where there's nobody transmitting, and it kind of makes them nervous. Don't worry about it. I just want to hear from you. So is there anybody that hasn't answered my question yet? Please call now. Thank you.
I was thinking about public events, like sometimes in this area we have large hikes or bicycle rides, things like that. And they ask that the local hams provide support for that. What kind of support would they provide in a case like that, other than making sure there's nobody left on the mountain and all the people get back to the starting gate? Over.
Okay, that's a good question, Jan. And it brings up what communication, what ham communication is really for, what radio communications are really for. When they're organizing the event, they'll often get together in one place, and everybody will do their input, and everybody hears what's going on. And they all have a discussion, and they talk about how they're going to conduct this event, who's going to be the drivers, what services are being provided by another person. This person's going to do a water stop. This person's going to refill tents, refill rest stops. Another person is supposed to do safety and pick up what they call drag. There could be all kinds of different jobs. But when they actually execute the event, all these people might be separated physically from each other. Now, they know they went to all the meetings, and they understand what needs to be done, but they're not right there where they can go together. And there isn't time to travel. It might be 20 miles down. So they use a repeater, and they need to ask a question of a particular person or clarify something or respond to an emergency situation. And to do that, they use ham radio communicators. The official will say, I want you to call the head of the ride and ask them if they have provided porta potties between rest stops 3 and 4, because we can't find them. And so the call is made on ham radio. And usually the other ham communicator, who's the communications person for that official, the official hears it. The official tells them what to say back, and the ham radio operator just echoes back whatever he heard. And then you have a conversation like that. They can hear it. If you've got the radio turned right and set up properly, they hear the question coming in the radio, and the other person hears the response. So it only goes through one ham, and yet you communicate effectively over a long distance. Does that answer the question?
Yes, it did. Thank you kindly.
Okay, thank you. All right, anybody else?
Yeah, this is KM4WUJ. I don't know if any of the other people tried it, but there's a thing you can do on a computer called Echolink, and you can talk all around the world on that. You do need a license, but a technician license, and you can talk all around with. Back to you.
Oh, yes. Echolink is very good. Thank you. And I don't have a pencil with me right now. I was just getting home from an appointment, and I didn't write down your call sign. But I appreciate that. That's an excellent point. Okay, anybody else?
What might the role of a local ham on VHF or UHF be in an emergency, since we're talking about emergencies or why we need ham capability, just in general?
Oh, good point. In an emergency, it depends upon the emergency, but generally, the ham is there to communicate with to provide communications between the person who's suffering the emergency and the people who might be able to help them in that emergency. And so the ham would facilitate communications. It can go more than that, and it all depends. There's been cases where a ham has actually rendered first aid based upon what the person on the other side of the ham radio has told them that they need to do. It just all depends. And so the idea is to get the communications, enable the communications so that people that are separated by a physical distance can have a meaningful exchange of information across that distance. And radio communications enables that capability. Anybody else want to call?
Do the hams have the capability to transmit the life information? You know, they have these little packets where they stick electrodes on a person, get the heartbeat, blood pressure, all that kind of stuff. Can that be sent through a handy-talkie?
Absolutely.
Or, okay.
If that's what needs to happen. I want you to know that whether you have a license or not, if you need to transmit to preserve property or preserve life in an emergency, anybody can do it, whether you have a ham license or not. And that needs to be communicated. Another reason to get used to at least one ham radio, so that you know to press the press-to-talk switch, and you know to let off on it so that you can hear what the other side has to say back to you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Terry, I have a question from Jan. Jan, what is the difference between a programmed radio that we would order from NLA and a non-programmed? And is the person...
Okay, there will...
A couple weeks ago, you said something about the person who was programming it wasn't up to par, it wasn't well or something. There seemed to be a delay. Is that still the case also?
Okay, let me tell you what happened. Bob is the fellow that's been doing our programming. 2 days before Thanksgiving, he had some surgery on a foot. Got out of the hospital, and I think it was just either that day or the next day. 2 days later, he wasn't feeling good, started running a fever. He checked in the emergency room. Turned out he had sepsis. He spent 5 weeks in the hospital getting over that. So he just got out like last week. So he is back now and is filling the orders that we didn't get done while he was hospitalized. Now what you get is up to, I think it's 12 channels that are pre-programmed for emergency services and things of that nature that are in your zip code, in your area there, like the county sheriff and so on and so forth. Now there can be complications with that because in my lovely county, they all went to secure comms, so nobody can listen in on them unless you got the decoder. But in general, that's not true. My county, for some reason, the center of Pennsylvania near Penn State, is the only one, I think, so far that we have run into that way. But it just gives you a way to be able to scan through the local emergency group and stuff like that automatically without having to find out what frequencies they operate at, what channel that would be, and program it into the radio yourself.
That's great. I wouldn't know how to program it. Any way to check where they have this, you called it secure com? I'm in the Pittsburgh
area.
Yeah,
there might be. If you give me your zip code, I might be able to track it for you. What's your zip code?
15223.
Where are you physically located?
No, I'm outside of a major proper city of Pittsburgh. I'm in borough of Etna.
Oh.
15223.
Okay. And you're showing up as anonymous to me. I if you give me an email address, I can send you the information.
hjbs1234@hotmail.com.
Okay, 1 terabyte.
HJBS1234, right?
H for Helena, J for Joy, C for Cat, S for Sam, 1234.
Okay, Cat. Okay, got it. Okay, great. I'll check on it. There is a website that you can go to for a given zip code and see what is available.
Okay,
if there's anything. If it's not listed, that means they're all encoded, so you can't listen in. Okay.
Very much. I appreciate it.
Okay, we generated a few good questions tonight. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Terry, I think it was like me making the faux pas, I don't know, a month ago now, where I didn't know that everybody in the room was muted. So I made noise not knowing because I thought I had to request to be unmuted. But people don't know that, so they go about shuffling of papers and everything when they don't realize that the entire room can speak up at any time. You don't have to push any star or one or two or five or six buttons or whatever. So nobody knows that they are being heard while they're slurping on their Slurpee or whatever. So maybe you could start the call out each time saying, you know, if you say something, we're going to hear it.
Oh, okay. Good. Very good. That's a good point. I will take that to heart. So I was
we're
making noise
lurking.
Myself. Go ahead.
We're all lurking all the time, so beware.
All lurking
we're
all the
mini,
time.
Yeah, we're the mini NSA, I guess.
I just think part of the introduction, you could say that maybe not to disrupt the call, you can press your own mute button on your own phone because the whole room is unmuted kind of thing, because we don't know that. I know I wasn't aware of that.
Okay. As you can see, I make noise too. All right, is there anybody else?
Don't holler at the kids. Slam the bathroom door. Don't.
Yeah, I forget to mute myself on occasion. I have some ideas prepared, but I didn't want to just jump in. This call is to help you become a ham. One of the things that I wanted everyone to think about is how are you going to help people communicate in a committee of safety? And why would you need that communication? What's important about it? And I want y'all to think about being physically separated. And Jan mentioned a couple of things, like if you're doing an event, why are we doing that event? We practice our communications and maintaining the safety of the event using ham radio communications. And so that's really good practice for what we would want to do for the committees of safety. Another thing is to improve our skills. Used to, you had to wire up your own radio. You would look wherever you could, and usually that was in a magazine that was geared to ham radio, and it'd have a circuit in there. and you had to get as close as you could to all the parts and put it together and then see if you could lock on it. And before we had some decent amplification, it was really, really hard because you had to wear earphones, and that's why you see a bunch of earphones way back when the turn of the 19th to the 20th century. They were always wearing earphones because earphones didn't take much current to drive them. And so they would wear those earphones, and they could just hear it. Along a little later on, tubes were invented, and the electron tube was a major step because you could use a tiny little signal to control the flow of electricity in a much larger circuit with a much larger current. This allowed them to use speakers, and they didn't have to use headphones anymore. But the trouble is, they didn't really have big speakers well yet, and it did take a lot of power to do that. Some of these radios were the size of a refrigerator, if you can believe that, and all it did was Morse code. So it was a challenge to have them, and a challenge to keep to get enough power to drive them. As things progressed, they could do better and better. And the tubes eventually gave in to transistors. Now, I don't know how many people know the history of a transistor, but transistors didn't come along till the late 40s. I think 47 was the first one. IC didn't come along till the late 50s. And they weren't really getting involved in radios until the late 60s. I'm sorry? So it has taken time. And now you don't have to know all of the inner workings of a ham radio, but you can build your own. You can still do that legally, and the FCC will let you do it because you're a ham radio operator. But most of us just grab a radio and we start doing stuff, and we understand a little bit about how it works, but maybe not as much. The nice thing is you don't have to understand every single thing about how it works. You just have to know enough not to interfere with anyone else's communication. That's the important part. So we are allowed right now, and if it's an emergency, we can all do it, whether we have a license or not. And I think we use it for good things. And different hams come up using it different ways. So everything you do is practice. Practicing where the repeater works and where it doesn't work gives you an idea of what you have to do to communicate out. And you find out a lot of other things. Where one frequency will work really well, you find out that in this location, that frequency no longer works very well. I found this out. We had a 145.50 or 147.50. I can't remember exactly what the frequency was. And we used that for simplex communications on this net. And then I found some places where that didn't work anymore. So we went to 144.495, and just a little bit of difference, and all of a sudden that interference didn't affect me anymore. And so there's nets here in Colorado that are on 147.495 or 145.9. I can't remember exactly what the frequency is, but 495. The reason they're conducted on that net is because I had some interference way back when I was running the net. And here after 10, 12 years, they're still on that frequency because it's worked for them. And that's one of the keys. What works? Stick with what works. Try other things if you have to or you must, or if you're looking to make the communications better,
But work on it when you're not pressed for time. Find out what works before you're in a position to where you actually need to communicate and you can't be fooling around. That's why we practice, and we practice all the time. And I want to help everybody get their ham license. Many of you have already, and I'm glad you have. But I want to encourage other people to get their ham license also, and then start helping the committees of safety. Being able to have programmed radios that all have the same set of frequencies, you can always say, okay, I'm going to channel 3, or I'm going to go over to whatever you want to call it, frequency alpha, frequency Charlie. And the other person on the other side, as long as they know what you're talking about, great, and they go there. So if you're having interference, you can change the frequency and do something different. There's always going to be something going on that will cause you to lose communications. You want to be able to recover from that and reestablish your communications and whatever the situation is. Okay, there's your short little lesson tonight. I hope everybody enjoyed it. Now, I'll throw it open. Anybody can ask any question or make any comment. The guy who mentioned EchoLink in there, EchoLink is where you can sit at your computer terminal and actually use your computer speakers and your computer microphone to transmit over a repeater that might be 1,000 miles away or half a world away. I've heard people on my local repeater talking to Australia on a regular basis. And it's morning here and it's evening there. It's evening here, it's morning there. And it's a lot of fun. But part of that is traveling over the internet packetized. And we get the repeaters back into a voice. So I'm going to turn that open. Anybody can ask any more questions on anything they'd like. But go ahead and please call now. Or make any comments you want. Call now.
This is KC3HVA. Just a question. Last week, I believe it was, we had somebody on that was talking about the Luton 25 or more watt UHF-VHF radio. And I'm just wondering, it's relatively inexpensive, how much further that might extend your range compared to the 8-watt unit. If the 8-watt will get out to the edge of the line of sight, it probably won't help you, but if you get on a hill, you might do even better. Over.
Absolutely. Getting height is more important than power at times, but still there's a distance thing. And using a repeater, if the repeater's up on a high tower or a hill or a mountain, you can really go a long way. 25 watts, you're kind of getting to the area. You get beyond about 5 watts or maybe 10 watts, depending on how you look at it, that you want something between you and the antenna, because our human bodies make a great ground plane. That's why HT, handy talkie, handheld transceiver, whatever you want to assign it to, an HT works really well, because your body acts as the ground plane for that antenna and that radio, because your body resonates on that VHF and sometimes the UHF frequency. So when you start using higher powers like that, you want to get them away from the body so that they are not interfering with your normal life and you're not being heated by the radio energy, the radio frequency energy, RF. So that's usually for something that strong, you usually put an antenna on top of the roof of your car. Well, the roof of your car acts like the ground plane, And it also protects you from sitting, protects you from the RF energy as you sit underneath that ground plane inside the car. So usually when you get that much energy, you're not going to extend the range so much as you're going to improve the signal and the readability of the signal at the edges. So if your HT, let's say your HT, you're up on a hill and your HT can reach 30 miles, which is not unusual, they might hear you with a scratchy signal or just white noise. So you sound like you're in, got a lot of interference or noise coming in. They can just pull you out of the noise. You put 25 watts in the same condition, get off the HT and put 25 watts out of there, suddenly they can hear you. Now, what distance does that turn into? I think it's more dependent on the height that you get to, the height that your antenna is at, rather than the power. As far as the line of sight is still line of sight. And when we're up on top of a mountain talking to somebody, it's pretty easy to hit whoever you want to hit, whoever is on a peak right straight across the valley or 10 miles or 20 miles up. It's not a problem. But when you're going over the curve of the earth and you're trying to reach out there 50, 60, 70 miles, yes, that 25 watts will help you a big deal. I kind of fudged the answer to your question, Jan. I hope that it made sense. And did you have a follow-on from that?
Yeah, that was great. Thanks so much. It is designed and intended to be a mobile application, so by all means, put your antenna on top of the roof. Don't sit it down next to you. Exactly. No, I don't really have any further questions.
Okay, unless somebody comes with another comment, suggestion, or question, or criticism, I think I'll start closing that. So if anybody has any final thoughts, please call now. Music.
Yes.
Hams can't transmit music. Here it doesn't matter. You can transmit all the music you want on here. But we're not actually on using ham radio communications. So be careful and try not to let music. One of the ways that I got caught is I had it low in the background, but when I keyed up and in between my words, I wasn't saying anything, the mic gain would open up and there would be that music coming off the radio. And somebody said, "You know, you're letting music go out." I said, "Oh, crud. Sorry, I thought it was low enough." And I turned it off because hams are not allowed to send music over the airways. And there is one exception that is spelled out in the regs, and that is that ham radio can be used to send short wake-up calls to astronauts up in the shuttle or the space station. So there's one instance where you can send a little bit of music. That's interesting. Thank you a lot for that opportunity, whoever made the noise. Anybody else?
Looks like it's closing time.
Okay. Thank you, Jan. This has been KI0RE, Terry, in Colorado. I really appreciate y'all logging in tonight. This is the NLA HamsNet. It's held every week on Wednesday night at 8 p.m. On this conference call number. It's the regular Monday night NLA conference call number. And everybody is invited to talk about ham radio communications, communities of safety, communities of correspondence, anything else the NLA would like to talk about. We would like to encourage you to get with your local hams, study, get your license, and then let us know you got it. And if anybody has any input that will help your committees of safety communicate, we can get you in here too. So with that, I'm going to say the net is now closed, and thanks everybody for participating. Go ahead, Jim.
Okay, I'm going to turn off the